Good morning. All right, so I've got a few things we get to celebrate this morning, so I need you in applause mode, okay? You ready? Yes! All right. Because I burn a lot of calories doing announcements, as you know. Okay, so here we go. First of all, thank you, all our volunteers. Let's give it up for all our volunteers. I do ballpark math, so I think I did the numbers. We have about 100 people volunteering weekly throughout the month, going in and out. That's a lot of people serving between the barn and the farmhouse. That is great. So thank you guys so much. That doesn't happen on accident, so we're thankful for that. And we have a lot of families coming, a lot of kids. Way to be fruitful and multiply. That is so awesome. Good job with that. In fact, you've done so well. We are at full capacity at the farmhouse. We have room, though, okay? We actually have a new room set aside and ready to go. You know what all we need is? A few more volunteers. Let's give it up for the 8 people that are going to sign up before they leave today. Yes, that's right. 8 people. I see that hand back there. Yeah, I'm kidding. We just need 8. As a coach, a 10 would feel better. I need a little buffer, so... Seriously, if you'd sign up, we would love that and greatly appreciate it. Okay, quick note about life groups. I didn't give you anything there. Okay, so life groups, we are excited about all the growth that's taking place. We've had some families, some couples say, hey, we want to lead, we want to host, at our house. So that's amazing. So God's providing, and we are trying to get people in place. So, hey, if you signed up, like, I'm super interested, but you didn't give us your age or if you have kids, I think you'll be getting an email soon. We just need you to give us a little bit more information. I know nobody here is over 39 years old. I know the truth. But if you could just play along and let us know your age and also your kids, that helps us place you in groups. Okay, moving on. Here we go. The one I'm probably most excited about here. Josh Kills is coming on full time. You can envision it though, right? We are so thankful for you, man. Josh has been on since the beginning, right? And you know how much he loves you, and we love you guys here, the boys, the men, the young men here. We are thankful for you guys and so grateful for you coming on board. Got Johnny, Josh. Also, hey, I forgot. Joanne is Sage had a baby, okay? I got to stick the landing here. All right, but Joanne is jumping in, so thank you, Joanne's in the back. You'll be thanking Joanne by giving her your, we need 8 people, don't forget. 8 folks to open up that room and make this run. Okay, woo, I think we're good. I think we're there. How about we stand up? Let's just thank God for what he's doing. In fact, actually just take a few seconds on your own. Think about what God's been doing in your life recently, specifically as it relates to Living Vine. And just thank him for it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the way you are forming this church. Not with programs. We're not just trying to fill slots. You are forming this church through your people. God, you are doing something so special, something nobody else could do, only you can do. You are bringing new people to this place all the time. You've brought us all to this place. In just a matter of months, we have new relationships, new friendships, new roles and responsibilities. God, thank you for what you're doing. Man, I thank you for Josh and Sarah. Lord, thank you for the ministry they have provided. Thank you for the friend he's been to me and to so many in this room. I pray that you would just bless their family as they move into this new phase. Thank you for this community. Thank you for allowing us to serve this community. Lord, as we open your word, help us not just to see what you've called us to believe. Help us to see who you've called us to be. Together. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. You can sit down. Great job on all that. Thank you. Thank you for helping me get through that. All right, today, last week we talked about our value on intimacy. If you missed it, Josh crushed it. Go check it out online. The message should be there by now. And then today we're going to be doing a doubleheader on mission and community. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, this is such a great story. My goal is to try and stay out of the way. Okay? So this story does such a great job. I'm just going to try and stay out of the way and anchor down in key points as we go. But I do want to start out with asking you this question. You just got through the holidays. Now, think about this. Did you go to an event? Did you go to a party? A partay? Like, whether you wanted to or not, and it's somewhere along the way. Maybe you're, like, in a conversation you wish you weren't in, or maybe you were in the best conversation, and you thought to yourself, boy, I wish so-and-so was there. I wish Jonathan was there. No, I'm kidding. I wish Josh was there. Who do you wish was there in that moment? You're looking out, you're walking away from that event, and you're like, man, that was awesome, but I wish so-and-so was there. Maybe you were on a trip. Maybe you were out hunting. Maybe you tagged the deer of a lifetime and you thought, man, I wish somebody else had been here. Maybe you were on the river fishing. I don't know. Sun came up, sun went down. You're like, man, this would have been so much better if so-and-so had been here. Who's missing? That is a common question we ask when we're in the middle of something we are loving. When we are in the middle of something, we're like, man, wow, I love what's happening here. We typically come to this question somewhere along the way, who is missing? So hold on to that, because that is at the heart of this text today in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. All right, now, let me just set this up briefly before we get into this chapter. Here's where we are. David is king now. He's been king for, I don't know, about a decade more or less. He's finished up all the major military campaigns. He's conquered Jerusalem. He's built a fabulous cedar palace. I'm jealous. I love cedar. He's brought the ark back to the city. You know, just doing what kings do. He's at the height of his success. I mean, there's not much more you could ask for. He's got power. He's got wealth. He's got security. He's even got God's favor. What more could you ask for? At this point in time, all he had to do was sit back, take a deep breath, and relax and enjoy the success. But he pauses. He stops in the midst of all of it. And he asks a simple question. It's a remarkable question. It's a question we've all asked before. He's looking at all this, and he's like, who's missing? Who is missing? Let's look at this. Verse 1, here's how he asks, who's missing? Verse 1, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for David's sake? Now think about this. David's sitting back. If you don't know the history, just to let you know, King Saul had been hunting David down for years, trying to kill him. There's no reason David should be thinking about anything to do with blessing Saul or any of his family, right? I mean, if typically what you did with the rival previous dynasty is you know, if you took over, you kind of took them out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this wasn't Godfather's idea, okay? So now, instead of thinking, who should I be taking out? He's asking, who should I be bringing in? Who's missing here? Who is missing? Not only who is missing, but see what he says? That I may show them kindness. Oh, that's a key word here. Now, we've talked about this word. It's hesed in Hebrew. Hesed. It is a beautiful word with a beautiful, rich meaning. It is covenant love. It is loyal love. It's faithful love. It's the kind of love that persists even when the other party's not reciprocating, when the other person's not reciprocating. It is a nitty gritty, nonstop, no matter what kind of love. Are you tracking with me? This is hesed. This is loving kindness. No matter how far you wander, no matter what you do, if you fail, it doesn't matter. Hesed is coming after you. Love is not stopping. This is not some kind of PR stunt that David is putting on, like, hey, let's go find somebody and show them how kind I can be. No, this is David truly reflecting God's character, okay? So he's not just saying who's missing. Who's missing that I may show them God's kindness the way he's shown it to me? And he goes on to say, and this is for Jonathan's sake. I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now, just to give you a little bit of background here, the reason he's talking about this, Jonathan is King Saul, was King Saul's son, okay? And Jonathan and David had a uniquely, like, a wonderful, tight friendship, a brotherhood, man. And more importantly, Jonathan and David made a covenant with each other, okay? Before Jonathan died, they made a promise with each other. And Jonathan asked David, he said, hey, would you show the loving kindness of the Lord to my family, even after I'm gone? So this is what Jonathan asked of David, show loving kindness to my family, even after I'm gone. And David says, okay, I'll do it. So that is what's at play here. David is following through with a promise he made. This is hesed love. This is the loving kindness that we're talking about. It takes initiative. My kids are always like, lock in, Dad, lock in. This is love locked in and locked on. It is not going to let go. David is locked on now. He's like, who's missing and where do we go with this loving kindness? All right, we're tracking. Here we go. Now, this is what it looks like. Verse 2, now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. We're going to roll with that. And they called and they called to him, to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said, well, there is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet. Now let's pause. That's kind of vague, isn't it? Not much information given. Yeah, there is one, but he's crippled in both feet. Now, here's my thought on this. He's basically saying, hey, listen, there is somebody. He doesn't know what David's up to on this. He doesn't know if David's going to take him out. Like, hey, is there anybody still left? You know. Anyway, let's keep going. He says, hey, he's crippled in both feet. Look, he's no threat to this kingdom, and really, if you're thinking about it, he's not going to be able to help your kingdom either. So let's just kind of forget about him, right? He's like, yeah, he's crippled in both feet. He's thinking maybe this will deter David, right? No, sir. No way. He's locked in. He's locked on. David just asked one simple question. Okay, where is he? Where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel at Lodabar. Maybe that's why he was so simple the first time. Little tongue twister there. I did practice that several times. Anyway, let's just get to it. Lodabar, all right? You can't forget that, right? Lodabar. And this is crucial where he is. Lodabar literally means a place of no pasture, a barren place where nothing grows. The mail doesn't show up. FedEx doesn't make it out that far. Amazon doesn't even go to Lodabar. This is what I'm talking about. Do you hear me? Do you understand where this is? Do you understand what he's saying? He's out there, man. So he's crippled, and he's a long way out, okay? But this is more than just a location, friends. You hear this? It's a barren, nothing grows. We're talking about this guy, Mephibosheth, okay? It describes his life just as much as where he is. Think about this. He's the grandson of a king, King Saul. He's the son of David's beloved friend. He's living, but at the same time, he's kind of been forgotten, right? He's broken. He's dependent on somebody else to take care of him. He's damaged goods, basically. He's damaged goods. He's someone to be pitied, but is he worth inviting to the palace? I don't know. Let's just stop here. I want to soak in here. I don't want to switch too many gears here, but I want to land here for just a minute, because when we, as we understand Lodabar, we actually begin to understand our place in this story. So we've all been to Lodabar. Maybe you're there right now. Scripture tells us that before Christ, without Christ, Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your sins, in your trespasses and sins, right? Much like Lodabar, we are living on our own, in our own Lodabar, cut off spiritually, in a barren place, unable to make our way back to God on our own. I want to be clear here. Let me try and just make this. Lodabar, we can talk about where your Lodabar is, what it's been, what your story is, where you are now, where you were. The key to understanding Lodabar is there is no way back on your own. The only way back from Lodabar is by rescue, not on your own. And that's exactly what David is about to do. This is, my friends, a rescue mission. The king, David, he sent out and brought him. See, hear that? He sent him, he brought him. He couldn't do this on his own. He goes to Lodabar, they go to Lodabar, they get him, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage and David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." Now let's hold on here. You're out in Lodabar, right? Not much going on, all right? And all of a sudden, here comes the king's men, and they say, "Hey, you've been summoned to the palace, and you happen to be the grandson of his greatest enemy. What are you thinking right now? What are you thinking might be happening right now?" Nothing good, right? I mean, you can imagine what's going through his mind. Best case scenario, severe judgment. Worst case scenario, death. Okay, so this is how Mephibosheth walks into this scenario. This is why he falls down on his face. It's more in terror than anything else. He's like, what's about to happen? But what does David say? He calls him by name, first of all. That's important. How do you think that sounds? The king of Israel, with a man down on the ground, he calls him by name. What does John 10:3 say about the good shepherd? He calls his sheep by name. Here is David, the shepherd king. And I can only imagine that by now, at this point, David's lowered his voice. He may have leaned in and leaned down, and he began to speak. And these words come out. And you can imagine what they do to Mephibosheth's heart. He says, "Do not fear. Do not fear." One of the most repeated commands in all of Scripture. When God summons somebody into his presence, and we're thinking the worst and we get the best, we're thinking condemnation and we get comfort. That is beautiful. David says, "Do not fear." He calls him by name. He comforts him. He's already, the load is coming off of Mephibosheth. Right now, he's releasing, man. You can only imagine. He's thinking, this is my last day on this planet. And now all of a sudden, the king is speaking words of comfort. This is the gospel, my friends. Do you hear it? Do you see this? We deserve judgment. But we receive mercy. We expect condemnation, but we hear, "Do not fear." We actually hear, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." This is what's happening. The gospel is unfolding here in 2 Samuel. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But it goes further than that. Let's look at verse 7. He continues on, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness. For the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Man, this is so good. He's like, here's what covenant love looks like, my friend. Here's what kindness, this locked-in love, looks like. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And guess what? It really has nothing to do with anything Mephibosheth can bring to the table. In fact, this is all, as he said, this is for Jonathan's sake. My friends, there's a fancy word for this, imputed righteousness. It's when we receive something, not based on our merit, not based on anything we can do or have done or ever will do, but for because of Jesus and only Jesus. We have heard these words, do not fear. We've heard these words, do not fear. And not only that, I will show you loving kindness. I'm going to pour out everything. I'm not holding back. Those storehouses are yours. Everything is yours. I'm going to show you loving kindness, my friend, not because of anything you did. The beautiful thing here is before Mephibosheth even breathed the breath of life on this planet, David and Jonathan had already locked this promise down. Do you know that? He already had a seat at the king's table before he ever breathed the breath on this planet. That is beautiful, my friends. Keep going. All right, so David promises restoration. All these things return to him that he did not have. The inheritance comes. The future is restored. The security comes. Everything is happening. And he goes even further than that, because it could end like this. Hey, man, thanks for coming by. I just wanted you to know, you get everything back, so go over there and do your thing. You get all that, take it, and go run. Have fun. It's yours. See you later. Maybe never. But what does he say? I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you all that Saul ever had. But also, I'm giving you a place at this table. You will always, always eat at this table. You always have a place. You know, I'm not just giving you provision. I'm giving you a place. That's so good. I'm giving you a place. When you get a seat at the king's table, that means, man, you are part of the family. That means you get constant access, ongoing relationship, permanent acceptance. Do you hear that? Permanent acceptance. It's locked in, my friends. How does he respond? What is your servant that you may show regard for a dead dog such as I? Dead dog? There's got to be a little time out here. Like, man, I hadn't heard that one. That's like dogs, a good dog back then is a low status. A dead dog? Mephibosheth, that is really low, bro. I haven't heard that one before. That's as low as you get. A dead dog? Come on. Thank goodness. Thank goodness that has no bearing on how David treats him. His self-assessment has no bearing on how David didn't say, oh, well, then never mind. Oh, you know what? You make a good point. Let's scratch all that. Let's just, you know what? Let's forget about it. You probably won't be, you know what? A dead dog probably doesn't deserve this, does he? You may have heard that at some level or version in your life, right? No, it doesn't deter David. Remember, he's locked in. This love's not going. In fact, it makes it even better. Think about it. The lower Mephibosheth sees himself, the more astonishing the grace is in this story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't stop there. He follows up. This is key. I love this story. So thankful for it. Verse 11, 9 through 11. Then the king said, he called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson, and you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him. Hear this, friends. And you shall bring the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat, But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now look at this. Ziba had 15 sons. Okay? Man, he would be a volunteer for sure here. And all right, I'm going to stay on track. Fifteen sons and 20 servants, okay? I think that'll do it. 35? Is that, my math in here. And 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said, okay, according to all that the Lord, the king, commands his servants, so it'll be done, okay? Now, think about this, friends. David doesn't just say kind things and moves on. He says, hey, we got to figure this out. Let's say, hey, Ziba, come back in. Ziba, get back in here. We got to figure this out. Here's what's going to happen. This is beautiful. Hear this, friends. Have I said that already? Lock in. This is beautiful. David doesn't just say, hey, here it is. Good luck. No. He puts a community around him. He puts a community around Mephibosheth. It's beautiful. He puts people around him to serve, to work, to cultivate the gift he's been given. So the land just doesn't go to waste. He's crippled. He's crippled. What is he going to do? He needs a community, friends. He needs people around him to serve and cultivate this gift that's been given to him, to carry the weight he can't carry, to help him, to serve him. Isn't this beautiful, my friends? Listen. The seat at the table was locked in. There was no doubt about that. What he needed for this new life, to be able to sustain this new life, was a community. Were people who would serve the king, and in serving the king, serve Mephibosheth. He's got a place at the table, and now he's got people around him caring for him. Can this preach? Oh, yes, my friends. Listen, Living Vine. This is what's happening. We are servants of the king. We're also sons and daughters of the king, and he is calling us to make room at the table for all the people he's inviting, the people that come to this place we make room for. We pull a table up. We pull a chair up. We make space in the farmhouse. We come to the table. We come around the table. We come around people here. We come around each other to serve each other, to lift each other up, to show the loving kindness of God that we've experienced from God and the people around us who've loved us. Amen? Amen? I'm getting there. So as this story concludes, let's go on. Let's keep going. Verse 12, 13. And Mephibosheth had a son. Look at this. He's not a dead dog. He's got a son. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Check this out. Check this cat out. Dead dog. So what? He moved from Lodabar to Raisedabar. I couldn't miss. I'm on a long line of preachers that have probably said that. Check this out. I mean, a place of nothing to Jerusalem, to the city of the king, from obscurity to belonging, from fear to security. This is the beautiful story of rescue, my friends. This is what Jesus does. This is what a good king does. My friends, it doesn't just bless Mephibosheth. It blesses generations after that. It's going to bless his son. It's going to bless his family. It's going to bless the next family. Do you see this? There's no telling what Living Vine is going to do, not just for you, but generations to come, because of God's goodness, because we cultivate the gift he's given to us through community and life on mission. Amen? Every day, check this out. Every day now, he's waking up, not in Lodabar. He's waking up where he belongs. He has a place to go to Every meal, every time he's surrounded at the table, he's reminded of grace. Every conversation is reinforcing his new identity. He went from a dead dog to the son of a king. Does this sound like the type of church you want to be a part of, right? A place where you belong, a place you can go to, a place that reminds you of God's grace, that reinforces who you are in him. And because of him, my friends, that's Living Vine. That's what this community needs. That's what we need. And there he is, lame in both feet. It's kind of like an after statement, right? He's like, he's lame in both feet, but check all that out, right? Grace doesn't fix everything about our lives. He's still going to wake up with limitations that he's had. He's going to wake up with weakness, but he's going to be surrounded by a new family. That is good. And friends, that's our story. That's always been our story. That's the story of our church. That's the story of your life. The story is there is a king who's come to rescue us and invite us to a table and make space for us and bless us and give us something we could not ever experience or imagine on our own. David writes a psalm. He says, "My cup overflows." Friends, this is our story. It's overflowing. And when your cup is overflowing, you got to be asking this question that comes to David's mind too. He's like, man, who's missing? Who do I need to extend this loving kindness to and share this with? This is beautiful. God didn't come at us from a distance. God did not wait for us to clean ourselves up or to make our way back from Lodabar. He came to us, my friends. The seat at the table that we are talking about cost Jesus everything to give us that place long before you ever reached for God, long before you ever thought, I need to know who this is. The table was already set for you. The rescuer was already running after you before it ever began. Do you understand me? Are you tracking with me? That is the loving kindness of God. That is why the cup is overflowing. So here's the question, my friend. Here's what we get to ask because of what God is doing in this place. Who's missing? Who's missing? And how do we make room for the people that God is bringing into this place? It's getting, I don't know if you've noticed, look around. It's getting kind of tight. It's getting kind of tight. Who's missing? How do we make space for the people God is bringing? How do we serve them? Not because we need to earn our place at the table, but because by God's grace and kindness and love and mercy, we already have that place at the table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good shepherd. You have found us. You did not pass us by. You did not keep your distance. You came to us in our need. You set a table before us. You welcomed us. It's because of you that our cup is overflowing, not with ease and not with comfort, but it's overflowing with grace. Grace that found us when we were far off. Grace that secured our place before we ever asked. Grace that cost you everything. Thank you, Jesus. And that grace is overflowing, and when it overflows, it spills out, Lord. It's spilling out into this room. It's spilling out into the farmhouse. It's spilling out into our life groups. It's spilling out into Woodruff, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, show us where to make space at the table. Show us where to make space at our own table, not just this barn, but in our lives, in our schedules, in our attention to the people around us. Who's missing? Who needs your loving kindness? Grow us. Grow our hearts as you grow this church, Lord. And free us from the fear that we won't be enough. Free us from the fear that we don't have enough. Free us from the fear that we don't have enough people to serve. God, you are going to take care of that. Help us lean into that. Help us trust you and step into the places that we could serve you. that we would serve our King and live and experience the community and share the loving kindness that we have experienced from those in this place. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for all you are doing and will do. This church is yours, Lord. It is yours, and we trust it in your hands. We love you. Amen.